Four new flavors of Diet Coke go on sale this week. There is Ginger Lime, Twisted Mango, Zesty Blood Orange, and Feisty Cherry. It's part of an effort to improve slumping sales. According to Beverage Digest, the amount of Diet Coke sold in the U.S. has fallen every year since 2006. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us as he does each Monday from New York. Hi, Derek.
Hello, Jeremy.
And you write that this is Diet Coke's moment of panic.
Yes, it is. I mean, Diet Coke might be the second most popular soda still in the country, but its sales have been declining every single year for the last decade. And my theory here is that its jobs have essentially been outsourced to other beverages. Let's take three jobs of Diet Coke: hydration, energy, and fizz. Well, hydration has been outsourced to bottled water.
Right.
Bottled water consumption is going way up. Energy has been outsourced, I think, to the energy drinks, to Gatorade, and even to coffee. The U.S. coffee industry is actually on pace to surpass soda sometime in the 2020s, which is something unthinkable 10, 15 years ago. And then finally, you have fizz, that sort of delightful feeling that some people enjoy in carbonated beverages. But even as soda sales are slumping, flavored seltzer is on fire between sparkling ice, LaCroix, Perrier, San Pellegrino. That entire category is growing by double-digit percentage points. So essentially, to sum up, I just think that everything that people wanted out of Diet Coke up till, say, 2000, 2005 has essentially just been outsourced to other beverages that seem to be doing the same thing better.
But it sounds like you're also saying this is not necessarily a Diet Coke problem. This is just a soda problem. People are moving, as you say, towards bottled water largely.
Yes, that's exactly it. I mean, at the peak of soft drink consumption in the U.S. in the mid-2000s, Americans drank 53 gallons of soda per person each year. That is more than half a liter per person every single day. It's just absurd how much soda we have been drinking in this country. And what's been happening is that you have essentially a health wave that's come up against our fascination with soda. There's a growing consumer focus, I think, on health that has hurt soda's domination. You have concerns often buffeted by government data that daily drinkers of diet soda are at higher risk for various maladies, including strokes and other, quote, vascular events. So in many ways, sort of the diet in diet soda used to be an attractor. You drank this because you wanted to be thin. But now the concept of a diet cola seems paradoxical and wrong, I think, to a lot of today's drinkers. And as a result, you do have this enormous shift away from soda toward things like, as you said, bottled water consumption, which has tripled this century.
Yeah, certainly a healthier alternative. At the same time, you've still got the same problem with us producing and using a ton of plastic bottles for 5 minutes and then throwing them out.
Right. I mean, I will say briefly that I do not happen to drink that much bottled water for precisely this reason. I feel like I might as well just turn on the tap and have some of New York's finest in a mug rather than buy some from Evian or Dasani. That said, it seems like most Americans disagree with me because bottled water consumption is absolutely on fire. And as I said, it is surpassing now total consumption of soda for the first time ever.
You also write about a different beverage, and you paint a much rosier picture, and that is craft beer. What did you find about the craft beer industry in this country?
So it's interesting. I was researching something completely different, totally far away from the world of beverages, which is monopolies in America. And Anheuser-Busch InBev and MillerCoors, the two largest beer producers in the U.S., as recently as 2012, actually controlled about 90% of beer production in this country. But then I saw a statistic that just knocked me off my chair. And that was that between 2008 and 2016, the number of brewery establishments grew by a factor of 6. And the number of workers in these breweries more than doubled in less than a decade. I mean, that is just a remarkable period of growth for a 200-year-old industry. And the reason essentially is, as you said, that craft beer is ascendant. And it's ascendant really for three quick reasons. First, consumer tastes have changed. We like hops a lot more than we used to, and Budweiser isn't famous for meeting that taste. Two, beer manufacturing equipment has gotten a lot cheaper, so it's easier for a handful of people to sort of brew brew in their basement in the garage. And in three, there's a very specific regulatory regime that I won't go into in too much depth that essentially makes it a lot easier for upstarts in beer as opposed to upstarts in a lot of other industries where you tend to see monopolies dominate.
Well, and just briefly, what does this mean for the big beer companies? Are they going to just buy up the craft brewers, or what do you expect?
I think they're going to try, absolutely. I mean, they already have tried. You know, Goose Island, which is one of my favorite breweries, which is out of Chicago, where I went to school, has already been bought by the conglomerates. And I think they're going to try to do the same and even try to monopolize the beer manufacturing equipment sort of level of this industry to sort of, you know, own the means by which these craft producers are making beer, even if they can't own the beer itself. So, yes, you are going to see an attempt for the monopolies to take over. But right now, let's celebrate good news where we can find it. Craft beer is ascendant,
Doing well.
It is fantastic for beer jobs.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thank you.
Thank you.